Support for Curious Louisville comes from Lakshmi Farms, which believes in building community and expanding minds through progressive ideas, education, and growing soil right here in Anchorage, Kentucky.
For this episode, WFPL's Roxanne Scott and Jake Ryan teamed up to examine how Metro revenue is invested in the east end of Louisville compared to the west end. Here's what they found.
So late last year, we got this question that came to the newsroom from a listener, and during the voting round, the question got more than double the amount of votes than the other questions. Roxanne, what was the question?
The question was, how is Metro revenue invested in the west end versus the east end?
Very interesting question. Why would somebody ask this question?
I think this question has a lot to do with perception. I know when I first moved here, I heard a lot about the 9th Street divide. And I think there's an idea because of the history of the city where wealth is accumulated and where is invested and where it's not.
Yeah, the perception. Yeah, perception plays a huge role in this question and then in just the idea of segregation and equity in Louisville. But we can get to that in just a minute. First off, you went to a meeting with people that are actually trying to understand the budget.
Right. So I dropped by the Kentuckians for the Commonwealth meeting in Smoketown on a recent Wednesday night.
Yes, are you Connor?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
The group, it's a statewide nonprofit that advocates for social justice. And they had a participatory budget meeting. There were about a dozen or so people there. And the reason KFTC had this meeting was because they have an initiative coming up that's going to engage citizens around Louisville's metro budget. So they're trying to understand how it works. So I asked them our Curious Louisville question. How is metro revenue invested in the east versus west end? And they had some thoughts on who benefits from city money and where.
Well, I think there's definitely been a lack of investment on public infrastructure between the west end and the east end. And this is anecdotal, but you do see some of the most poorly maintained infrastructure in West Louisville.
But then when we really delved into the budget, we found the opposite is true. The West End actually probably receives more funding than the East End, but you have to look at what that investment is for.
So we've been working on this story for months, Jake. And so when I found out that this meeting was happening, I thought maybe KFTC members had like a magic sauce on how to track where money is going. But even they say it's tough to get a clear picture on who benefits most. This is Connor Allen.
A lot of times it's really difficult to get information on exactly where the money is going because it's not necessarily broken down by neighborhoods.
And generally, we ran into the same difficulties. We talked to academics and city officials to try and get an answer, but what we found is this is largely a question that doesn't have an answer.
It would be very difficult. It would be almost like asking you, you know, if you could track within your body which kidney was doing more of the work.
That's Daniel Frocht, the chief financial officer for Louisville Metro Government. He says the question is largely unanswerable due to the structure of the city's budgeting process. For starters, city officials don't focus on zip codes or council districts or neighborhoods when divvying out funds each year. Instead, Frocht says they focus on programs, functions, and departments. And that budget is, in its entirety, about $823 million. Frock says most of the city's revenue, more than 80%, comes from taxes, occupational and property taxes largely. The rest comes from a mix of license fees, permit fees, fines, forfeitures, and even donations.
It wouldn't be difficult to go by function. Our largest function is public safety. It takes up roughly 60% of our general fund budget.
But even then, pinpointing where, geographically, public safety funds go isn't easy.
Police is not a static function, nor are some of our Office of Safe and Healthy Neighborhoods functions. They go throughout the community.
The same can be said for other city-funded departments. About 70% of the city's general fund is dedicated to personnel, many of whom are mobile. A person hired to plow snow off roads is going to go across the city. A parks maintenance employee does maintenance at parks across the city. At the other end of that spectrum, a person working in the finance department in Metro Hall, like Frock himself, may stay in one place, but their responsibilities serve the entire city.
I'm not sure how you'd allocate my time. I serve the city in a financial capacity for the benefit of the entire city, work with the mayor. I'm not sure how you'd advocate me allocating my time or how I would go about doing that.
Okay, so it's really tough to see where exactly the city invests when it comes to departments and personnel. But what about capital projects, streets, sidewalks, physical improvements to city-owned structures, like parks? You'd think we could pin this down to a specific location, right? In a way, yes, but not entirely. Frock says park improvements can be pointed to on a map, but just because an improvement is made in Shawnee Park, for instance, doesn't mean that only the people near Shawnee Park benefit from that. The same is said for roads and sidewalks.
When you have general repairs for libraries, that's throughout the 18 branches. So even that, we don't know exactly what roof or what carpet is necessarily going to need to be replaced at that time. We have general repairs for facilities. And then there's a question of how you might allocate any capital that, say, is invested in corrections or the youth detention center, which serves an entire community. It has a single location, but the use is broader.
And that's an interesting point, because tax-paying Louisvillians who are investing in the city, they want to make sure that they're getting a fair shake at how city money is divided up. This is Monica Leslie, and she was also at the Smoketown meeting.
A lot of those questions are raised because people want to feel like they're getting a return on their investment.
But it's unclear just how one would determine if the funds are being invested equally across the city. Certainly, information is available about the city's budget. Annual budgets dating back to 2005 are available online, and Frock's office conducts an annual audit of the budget that's also available online. But these documents are hundreds of pages, and many people just don't have the time to read them.
Very, very old building.
We met with University of Louisville professor Dr. Stephen Coven to discuss the theory of budgeting.
I'm a professor in the Department of Urban and Public Affairs. My background is in political science and public administration, and I've been teaching the budget course here for quite a while.
But we also wanted to pose a question. How can a regular person be certain they're getting a fair shake when it comes to city spending?
Well, I don't know if they could be certain that they're getting an equal share, whether that's being divvied out properly. So properly is, it's in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, it's fair is to one person is not very fair, to another. Because everybody wants as much as they can get, it seems.
And to understand what the idea of a fair shake means in Louisville, we need to understand that Louisville has a deep, dark history with segregation and displacement. Some of that displacement is a byproduct of the so-called urban renewal efforts of the 50s and 60s that destroyed once thriving African-American neighborhoods in western Louisville. And during that time, many wealthier residents left the area for the East End and suburbs. Connor Allen says there's a lot of historical context to understand in Louisville.
A lot of neighborhoods, especially in the West End, have been intentionally neglected, and that it would be helpful for them to have more resources from the government. And it's not just that the neighborhood isn't doing enough itself in its own community to create better living conditions.
He says too much attention gets paid to the federal budget process. But what residents should really be focused on is engaging local elected officials, because the local budget can have a big impact on neighborhoods. But Coven, the UofL professor, says even if you engage and stay connected to your council person and your neighbors and push politicians to invest more in your neighborhood, the gains will likely be small. And that's due to an old theory called incrementalism.
Right, and that states that what we've done in the past, we've done, we'll do in the future. So any change is likely to be very marginal, from the previous year.
So let's do a quick recap. For many, there's a perception in Louisville that the East End, where there's less crime and blight and people are generally wealthier and whiter, gets more investment from the city's government.
But finding the data to prove or debunk that perception is difficult. City officials don't budget based on zip codes or neighborhoods, but on needs and functions. And it's really difficult to pin down just where each city dollar goes. And Daniel Frock, the city CFO, says there's no plans to start doing that anytime soon.
I don't think that it would be, I think it's a question of whether we could even do it. I mean, if we had, it would be quite taxing to kind of put a you know, a mileage tag on every truck that's purchased and see which zip code the trucks drove through and figure out who was driving the truck and how much they were being paid and so forth, I think you'd find we'd be spending a lot of time not really with any value added to it.
So you get the idea. And Frocht adds that you shouldn't just look at how the city spends tax dollars, but how the other public entities spend your tax dollars, like the sewer district, the airport authority, and the public school system, whose annual budget is more than $1 billion.
Some residents, like Sally Carter, say we should also avoid getting fixated on East versus West.
Sometimes the people in the South End feel like they're the forgotten area of the city.
So for this installment of Curious Louisville, the answer isn't so straightforward.
But keep asking those questions, and we'll keep searching for the answers. I'm Roxanne Scott.
And I'm Jake Ryan in Louisville.